just our hearts and our eyes and our ears would be open to them, Lord, and that we might see the great truths that you have in your words. Your words are great, Lord, and there's more to your words than just words. There's truth, there's understanding, there's wisdom found in them, Lord, and we pray that we would just study to learn these things, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, let's see what we got. Yep, 46. The context here is Jesus' return after the tribulation and before the millennium, okay? Jesus comes back and he sits, the Bible says, on the throne of his glory in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. And these angels, they have specific tasks that they're going to be doing when they come back, gathering the nations and such. And the Bible says, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And you know, you go through some commentaries and you see that there's people out there that teach that this is the last judgment of God. This is the white throne judgment. And it's not. It's not, folks. This is a judgment before the white throne judgment. The Bible says Jesus comes back to sit on the throne of his glory. Now this is the throne that was promised David back in 2 Samuel. It was promised that this throne would be established forever. Back in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12. 2 Samuel 7, and we'll read those verses. Find it. We'll start in verse 12. The Bible says, and when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Okay? And historically, this applies to Solomon. But prophetically and doctrinally, it goes beyond Solomon, folks. Because Solomon's kingdom was not established forever. And we know that. His kingdom came to an end. And so when Jesus Christ shows up in the book of Matthew, he is the seed of David that these verses are talking about. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he is going to sit on David's throne. Okay? He's not sitting on the throne of God, judging men. He's sitting on the throne of David. And this is the same throne that was told to Mary in Luke chapter 1. We'll go there, Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Yeah, 31. Here's an angel talking to Mary. We'll start in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Okay, so that is this throne that he's sitting on, the throne of his glory. And that didn't take place at the first coming. And so it is yet to be fulfilled, and that is if you believe the Bible. And some people, maybe they just are blinded to this. because they teach otherwise. But if you believe the Bible, this is not the throne of God, it's the throne of of David, okay? Jesus isn't even sitting on God's throne now. We're told in the Bible that he's sitting on the right hand of God. Okay? And so the throne that God promised Jesus is an earthly Davidic, and it's a Palestinian throne. Okay? It's a throne of David, and it hasn't been fulfilled yet, so it's yet to be fulfilled. Yes? Luke chapter 1, verses 31. Okay, and so as long as a person is held to the context of the King James Bible, you can't teach a heresy. As long as you hold to the context, and the only way you can teach a heresy out of the King James Bible is if you get outside the context and you know, you use traditions. And that's the only way, folks. But if you don't succumb to imposing your traditions on others, and you stay within the context, the King James Bible will always be true. And it's always going to be true even if you don't, but you may end up teaching something that's false. The King James Bible, it doesn't lie, folks. It tells you the truth, okay? So when Jesus comes back, he's going to be anointed king, and he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. And so the millennium, folks, is really just the beginning of righteousness. He's going to bring in everlasting righteousness, the Bible says. And the millennium's going to start off with righteousness. And even though during the millennium and near the end, after 1,000 years, there's going to be a battle of Gog and Magog, right? We know about this battle. And at some point, that is going to happen during Christ's reign. But righteousness is going to reign. Sin will not reign in God's kingdom, in the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom. It's not going to reign there. Jesus Christ is going to reign, and he's going to bring in righteousness, forever righteousness. So it goes beyond the millennium. It goes into eternity. Okay? And so once you understand this context here in Matthew chapter 25, the interpretation of the passage is going to be a little bit more simple to understand. And once you understand, you'll see that the judgment that is being talked about here is a judgment, and it doesn't come after the millennium. It comes before the millennium. It comes when Jesus sits on his throne. Those that go into his kingdom will be judged before they go in there at this judgment. Okay? But a lot of people teach that Matthew 25 is the great throne judgment, and it's not. And you know this because the Matthew 25 judgment, it's after the tribulation, and it's before the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's before his kingdom starts. Because you can't get in there until you go through this. Okay? And the great white throne judgment is after the 1,000 years. And you know this when you read Revelation 20, verse 7. You know this. There's a battle there. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now these are all the people that are going to be born. Not all, but a lot of them are going to be born in the millennium. There's 1,000 years there for people to procreate, folks. Imagine how many people there is going to be on this earth after 1,000 years. I can't fathom it. And the Bible says you're not even going to be able to number it. Right? It says the sand of the sea. The Bible says, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. God's righteousness is going to stand forever, folks. Nobody's going to overthrow his righteousness. And the Bible says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne. That's after. The fire devours it up. We know that the Lord's going to melt the elements with fervent heat. And people are just going to be standing there before God's throne. The white throne judgment. And that's where everybody else is going to be judged. And so we see there's a chronological order of things and events. And although Revelation, it really never references the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25 doesn't reference the great white throne. Not that I see. But when you take the Bible and you put those two books side by side, you have events that happen in chronological order. And you see clear things. And so the Bible we see is it's perfect, folks. It's perfect. And we just need to learn how to line the things up that are in the Bible that are written. We have to learn how to line those up. Man doesn't need to change the Bible, folks. He doesn't need to change the Bible. He needs to change his thinking on how everything lines up and let the Bible line up the way it's supposed to. And so, but this throne of David, this throne of his glory, it's in Jerusalem, folks. In fact, it is Jerusalem. And we're going to see that, Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah 3:15. The Bible says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. This is in the millennium, folks. Why aren't they going to say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord? Because they're going to have a covenant written in their heart. They're not going to need the paper. They're not going to need the stone that was in the Ark of the Covenant. They are going to have a heart that does things right. Okay? That they're not going to need to be able to read all these things and the Ten Commandments and all these sacrificial commandments. They're not going to need all that. It's going to be in their heart. It's going to be in their heart. But the Bible says, neither shall it come to mind. They are going to be doing things. They don't even going to be thinking about it. It's automatically going to happen. It's automatically going to happen. Neither shall they visit it. Neither shall that be done anymore. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it. We see the context. Folks, we see the context. All the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imaginations of their evil heart. So those that get to come in, they don't walk at the imaginations after their heart anymore. They get a new heart. And that's the Bible, folks. Now their offspring, they are going to have to make a choice. But those that come in, they made that choice. And that's the reason why they get to come in. Okay? And so, as we read Matthew chapter 25, verses 36 here, or 31 through 46, we'll go back there and we're going to read it. We just need to keep in mind what the context is and the context of what Jesus has been talking about throughout the book of Matthew. With the virgins and the parable of the talents, okay? Now, as you read through this, we're going to read it right now. The Bible says in verses 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a sheep divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we know, folks, by other scriptures, who is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has set this thing up before the foundation of the world was ever in place on how the thing should go. And it's going to go exactly how he says, whether we agree with it or not. Okay? It's going to go that way. And so, but this is what these people are doing. Now, when you read through this, folks, it looks like man's works are involved. It does. I mean, when you just read this and you leave everything else out of this verse, it does look like that. But just bear with me and let me get through this message here today. And I think you're going to see some verses that doesn't really line up to what this is saying if you just leave it as it is and you don't take any other verses and in the Bible and try and understand what is being said here. Okay, we're trying to understand what's being said here, not just read words. There's more in the Bible than just words. There's understanding, there's wisdom, there's knowledge. And we need to try to do that. And in order to do that, we need to take other scriptures that are in the Bible and try to line up, hey, what is Jesus really teaching here? What is he teaching? Because if you leave it the way it is, as I said last week, you can have a guy that takes the mark of the beast, but is good to a Jew, and he gets to go into the kingdom of heaven. And you get to have a guy that doesn't that never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as 2 Thessalonians says, those that don't obey God or know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ are destroyed when he comes. You have to throw that verse out. And so we have to see, what is Jesus teaching here? Let's take some other verses in there and surround this passage here with those other verses and see if we can gather some teaching from it instead of just learning words. Words really, without understanding, they really don't mean anything, right? I said this one time, I said, Durka, Durka. And pastor asked me, what does that mean? I was like, I don't know. I looked up in the dictionary, and that word means, those two things put together mean nothing. Means nothing. Unless you put something else before it, and then you got some Islamic stuff. Praising Allah and stuff. But those two words by itself mean absolutely nothing. So let's just bear with me here. We'll see what we can do. Now, when you read through here, think about this. If a man truly loves the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength, will he help those that he comes across that he finds has a need? Or will he turn his head? Will he turn his head and walk away from them that are in need? And folks, we see by the Ten Commandments, you have to be right with God first. Then you can become right with your fellow man. If you're not right with God, all these other ones are going to come into play. The covetousness, the wanting another man's wife, the stealing, the murder, all that's going to come in. But if you love the Lord first, is that going to even be a factor? Think about that. Now, let me ask you this, I asked this last week. Can you, by just looking at somebody, tell if they're a Jew or not? I was talking to a gentleman yesterday. He had this accent. In fact, I got a nice picture on my phone of his little daughter sitting on my dog, pulling her ears. And we were in the park. And I asked him, I said, you know, I don't know what nationality you are. You have this accent. He goes, I'm an Israeli. I'm like, no kidding. He says, yeah, we're from Canada. I'm like, really? I never would have guessed. But I can't look at somebody and tell if they're a Jew, folks. I mean, how is anybody in the tribulation going to just look at somebody and tell if they're a Jew? They're not. And I don't even think Jews are going to be bragging that they're Jews. They're not. There's going to be wars. People are going to be after them, especially in Judea. And so a person's going to have to be right with God, folks, during world war and world famine and world disease and pestilence. They're going to have to be right with God, or they're not going to be helping those that they come across that they find in need. Because let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be in need during that time. Lots of people. And in order for somebody to help somebody when resources are scarce, when there's hardly any food to even feed your own family, we know, we hear a little bit of bird poop is going to be worth silver. You have to be right with God. And the only way you're going to be right with God is if you believe in the Lord Jesus. It's the only way. And we're going to see that, folks. It's the only way a person overcomes. The only way you overcome in this world is through Jesus. There's no other way in the Bible that I see that specifically states that you want to be an overcomer, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see it here in a little bit. But folks, do you realize when you believe the Bible, those words are guaranteed to work not only in your lives, in the church age people's lives, but in the tribulation during that time, those people's lives. What's true for us there is true for them. That promise is true throughout all the ages. And 1 Thessalonians, even though it's written in 1 Thessalonians, we see it clearly in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. And we'll go ahead and refresh our memories. And because I read it this morning, but I forgot it already. But I know some words that are in there. You know, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it's good when the Holy Spirit says, hey, that's the verse you need. But he only gives you one word. But you got all these other tools to look them up. Concordances. Especially online concordances. You punch one word in there, bloop, you take your pick. 1 Thessalonians. Verses 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's a promise that goes for all ages, folks. All ages. I'm sorry, I move my hands a lot when I get emotional. My wife goes, Mike, you're probably gonna make people mad when you move your arms like that. I'm like, I don't know, sweetie. I just throw them around because that's just what I do. Anyway. But now with these sheep nations, folks, back in Matthew, with these sheep nations here, you see the word all there. Verse 31. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You have sheep nations. You have goat nations. And people make up those nations. And so because of that, there's going to be people from the U.S. that were going to be a sheep. And there's going to be people from the Ukraine, that's going to be sheep. And he's going to have sheep in all different nations all over the world, folks. And when he returns, the nations that are in existence on this earth are going to come to this judgment with all the people there. And people, individuals are going to be judged there. Now, folks, the Jews are part of these nations. They're part of these nations. And you know this because of the phrase, all nations. And we're going to see a couple things about the word all here, but do you think that they're going to be Jews that help other Jews during the tribulation? I do. Do you think that there's going to be other nationalities that are going to help the Jews during the tribulation? I do. Do you think that that all these other nations are going to know the Jews that they're helping? I don't think so. I don't think so. And there's some things in this chapter, folks, that are going to show you that people are going to be surprised that they even helped the Jew. They're going to be surprised that those Jews were even saved. They're not going to even be doing these things because they're trying to get into the kingdom. Now folks, if that's a command, wouldn't you think they would know it? Wouldn't you think they would know what they were doing if they were commanded to help these Jews? And yet, they say, shall the king, verse 34, say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for me from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee this? When saw these things? They didn't even know. So if that is a command, folks, why don't they know about it? But I'll show you what is a command here in a little bit. Folks, I believe that during the tribulation, it's going to come down to this. It's going to come down to what Jesus was teaching when he taught on the Good Samaritan back in Luke. And that's in Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. And the only way that a person is going to be able to help those that they come across in the tribulation, when it's not even commanded of them to do so, because otherwise they would know, the only way that they're going to do that is if he's right with God. Do you realize what Jesus did for us? He did those things that the Good Samaritan did. He saw us in sin. He came and helped us. And if you're trusting in Jesus and the Word of God is in you, that's going to work out during that tribulation, and you're going to help somebody. Why? Because it's the Word of God that's doing it inside of you. You don't even know. But those that have the mark in the tribulation, they really don't need any help, folks, because they have the God of this world to help them. They have the God of this world to help them. And it's going to be pretty evident who they are. They're the ones that are going to be eaten. They're the ones that are going to have things. They're the ones that will be able to go to the store. They're the ones that are going to have a mark in their foreheads or in their right hand, as Revelation 13 states. But those that don't, they're not going to be able to get anything to eat. They're not going to be able to buy or sell. And so they're going to have to rely on others to help them. Others that don't have so much because they didn't take that mark either. And so, folks, there's not going to be any medium of exchange for those that don't worship the beast and those that don't have the mark. At least we know that that's how it's going to be in Judea. And it looks like it's going to spread out through the world. But don't forget, the Antichrist is at war with all these other countries at that time. How many of those other countries do you think are going to say, yeah, we're going to accept your policies? Right? But we know this, that in the end, all those nations come against the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Judea, it's going to be very hard. Those laws are going to be set up there by the Antichrist once that image is put up. He comes into power, and he's going to put those policies in place in that area. And it looks like it does spread throughout other nations. But it's just something to think about. But look at this word all. The Bible says in Revelation 13, 15, let's look there real quick. Verse 17, the Bible says, "And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of oh no, wait. Oh, verse 16, and he causes all," that word all again, "all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." Do you believe that this word all means everybody on the world? I don't, otherwise Jesus has nobody to come back and save. And so we need to look at the context of these things. This word all here, what does it really mean? Does it mean all that are in Judea? All that worship the beast? All that take the mark in their, or that want to worship the beast? Or does it mean everybody in the whole world? Something to think about. Here's another verse. Romans 11, 26. Here you have a nation of people, Israel. And you have a nation of people where it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Romans 11, 26. The Bible says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness for Jacob." What does that mean? Does that mean every Israelite, every Jew in history that died in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and everybody that was rebellious against God, all those are going to be saved? Or do you got to read a bunch of verses before that to find out that those that are in unbelief are not going to be, but those, because they're not grafted in. But those that are in belief, they're grafted in, folks. All those Israelites that believe, that are in faith, they're going to be saved. But folks, when the Bible uses all nations, when Jesus comes back, that's everybody on the earth. Before they ever get to go in to that millennium, everybody is going through that judgment. Okay, verse 36, and we're almost done. How much time do I have? 5 minutes? Let's try and get this done. Chapter 25. 37. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me." You have done it to me. What did I do? Notice the word brethren here in this passage. Now, does it fit to say that these are only Jews that are Christ's brethren? Does it fit to say that? He's got sheep nations and goat nations. And those that are of the sheep nations are ones that have gotten through the tribulation and are still alive. So they got fed. They got clothed. But I don't know if it's the dead he's looking at or if it's the sheep he's looking at. I think he's looking at all the sheep. And if we say that these are only Jews, folks, then you have to throw out what's in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46. Even though he's talking to his disciples, he's looking at his disciples, but he mentions something here. 12:46. "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Something to think about there. Now, folks, there's going to be people that keep the commandments in the tribulation. Okay? And what are these commandments? Look, if you would, in 1 John 3. People are going to have to keep commandments in the tribulation. In 1 John 3, verse 22. Ah! Yeah, 22. The Bible says, and beloved, if our heart condemn us, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Sounds like the law, doesn't it? You want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Better trust in his Son. That's the Bible, folks. Whether you're in this age or in the age to come. And when you do that, those other things are going to fall in place. Look, if you would, in 1 John 5. 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. No overcoming in the tribulation, unless you believe that, folks. For those tribulation people that, if they don't believe that, they don't get to overcome. Bible's clear. Bible's clear. They overcome there. If they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, guess what they get to do? Be good to everybody that comes by their way, and they don't even know that they're doing it. Because Jesus asks them, hey, this is why you're going to come in. Look at what you did. You did this unto me. And they're saying, when saw we this? When did we do all these things to you? We'll go ahead and stop there, folks. There's two type of people that go through this judgment, at the judgment of the nations. Those that are righteous, and those are the ones that have trusted in Jesus. And the Word of God is working in them to do any good works that they're going to do in that tribulation, and the Lord gets the credit for it, folks. And then those that are wicked, that trusted in everything else but the one that is righteous. There's two types of people, and the parables show it. Two types of people, virgins, you've got the faithful, and you've got the unwise, the wise and the unwise. You've got the wicked, in the parable of the talents, the faithful and the wicked. Two types of people. Jesus is teaching the same thing. People that go into the millennium are the same with the parables. He taught the same thing, folks. And the teaching that God wants everybody to know is that what you do with the truth that God gives you will determine what God does with you. That's the truth. Very simple truth. You take the truth that God gives you and you put it underneath, put it in a napkin, or bury it, you'll never come to Jesus Christ. But if you take that truth and trade it for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get in. And so will that tribulation saint. We'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words and thank you for your truth. And what a great thing, Lord. What a blessing it is to see you're the Savior. There's nothing that we can do here in this age, and there's nothing anybody can do in the tribulation. You're the one that is going to get people through. The only way you get them through is if they'll trust in you. And we pray these things, Lord, that we would just see these truths and not be guilty of sending somebody to hell in the future. We don't want to do that, Lord, and we're thankful for your words, and we pray that you would bless the service today. For Christ's sake, amen.